First Chronicles chapter 16, beginning with verse 8, we're going to read all the way through to the end of the chapter. Shall we stand together? Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Remember His wonderful deeds which He has done, His marvels and the judgments from His mouth. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. The covenant which He made with Abraham and His oath to Isaac, saying, To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion of your inheritance. And they wandered about from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people. Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heaven. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Give thanks. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. Father, I ask this morning that You be with the children and their teachers. May the spirit of thanksgiving be upon them. May the spirit of holiness be upon them. Lord, may this be another time, line upon line and precept upon precept. These children should gain a knowledge of the true idea of God and their relationship to You. Bless those who have other responsibilities this day and could not be here. Bless them, Father. Bless them mightily by Your Spirit, where they are. Now be with us, Father, as we consider these matters in our hearts and ponder them. Unfold before us and enlighten us greatly, giving thanks to Thee. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Last Sunday, the sermon was, The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Psalms 97:1. Here in this event, in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, is a description of thanksgiving offered up for the people in front of the Ark of the Covenant. The occasion is when David had been ruling appointed as king in Hebron for 7 years. Then he captures the city of Jerusalem and makes it his city. He builds himself houses. He says to himself, I have fine houses, but the ark is still down there in that man's house, far away from the city of Jerusalem. I'm going to build a tent. I'm going to pitch a tent for the ark, and we'll bring the ark and put it in the city here. So he pitched a tent, and he went and got the ark, and the Levites brought it up on their shoulders and put it in the tabernacle or tent that he pitched there in the city of Jerusalem. Now the ark had come to find a resting place in the city of Jerusalem. And he commands, verse 4, and he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Verse 5, Asaph, the chief, was the chief one appointed to do these things, to praise, celebrate, and thank the Lord God of Israel before the ark of the Lord. And Asaph, if you go through the Psalms, it will say under the Psalm number. It's a song of David. Excuse me. Sometimes you'll see it say a song of Asaph, which was the chief worship leader before the Ark of the Lord, appointed by David. Okay, in our terminology today, he was appointed chief to oversee and make sure that before the Ark of God, Israel celebrated, thanked, and praised the Lord God of Israel. Then on that day that he brought the ark in, verse 7, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord. And beginning with verse 8, this is their thanksgiving that was offered up. That's recorded for us. Okay. We're going to look at giving thanks today. And it is not intended to be a sermon where you learn a mechanism to get over your problems. Because sometimes it's represented that if you'll just give thanks, all your problems will dissolve and they'll just seem like nothing. If you'll just learn to give thanks. And that is not quite that simple. If you'll just learn to give thanks, that encourages people to just try to remember to say thankful things to God. Or try to gird up their mind to, if I'll just give thanks, I won't have these things won't be here. God will take away a temptation. God will take away people that are opposing me or people that are causing me difficulty. But God will take away things if I just give thanks. And the Bible doesn't teach that. Giving thanks is an experience that everyone knows about. Everyone has an experience of giving thanks. Yet it's hard to define. If I were to try to define giving thanks, it's an activity of the heart that is hard to describe, but everyone does it. Jesus prayed, and he said, one of his prayers before people, he says, I thank thee that thou heardest me. Jesus expressed his thankfulness that the Father heard him. Jesus, before the multitude, took the loaves and gave thanks. You know what it means to give thanks. You've given thanks before. You've had in your heart a grateful heart towards another person. You've given, your heart has been thankful, grateful. You've given thanks. You say, thank you. And sometimes people say, thanks is not enough to express what's really in my heart. That thanksgiving is greater than words can express. Gratitude is greater than words can express. We looked at praying for all men a couple months ago in our study on prayer, and it said to pray for all men. It also said that thanksgiving be made for all men. Thanksgiving be made for all men. 1 Timothy 2:1. The all-inclusive passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is, in everything give thanks. So we're admonished in everything to give thanks. Giving of thanks, having a grateful, thanksgiving heart, and giving the thanks, the gratitude, is to be done in everything. In everything, give thanks. So giving of thanks is a broad thing. It's sanctioned by and demonstrated that Jesus himself gave thanks to his Father. Now, recognize that Jesus, the Son of God, was always in communion with the Father, knew that the Father heard him. But he gave thanks for that. So even if we know that we have a parent that is always mindful of our heart, what's going on, what we might ask of them, we're still to give them thanks. Not take it for granted, in other words. Jesus expressed thanks to his Father for hearing him. In Philippians it says, be careful for nothing. You know the verse. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Be full of anxiety for nothing but it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So in occasions facing possible anxiety, anxiousness, when you are going to, in fact, not be anxious, but let all your requests be made known unto God, you are to pray, you are to supplicate, you are to make requests and petitions with thanksgiving. So it's extremely significant that thanksgiving goes on for all men. When faced with trials, in everything. It's wonderful things to learn about thanksgiving. What I'm going to attempt to do this morning is talk about several headings regarding giving of thanks for your understanding. It is not to try to lay out before you such compelling thoughts that your heart will just have to be grateful. That's not the attempt. So if you're sitting there thinking, okay, what I'm going to hear this morning is going to be so compelling that my heart will just go out in thanksgiving. No. I'm going to direct your mind how to direct your thanksgiving. You will have to decide to be thankful or not. I can't induce that and I can't draw it out of you. You will look at what we look at this morning and give your heart to be appropriately grateful for what we look at. The wicked are thankful. Just in passing, I want to mention. The wicked are thankful. So thankfulness is something all men do. The wicked are thankful when, for example, lawyers are thankful that there's so much legal problems between people. Doctors can be thankful there's so much disease in the world. And many wicked people are thankful that there is such tragedy because it benefits them. The news is thankful for tragedies because they love to cover tragedies. Gossip papers are thankful for slander, slanderous activity, so they can report it and make their business. The publican says, I thank God that I am not like other men. People can have a religious spirit about them where they're grateful that they can say, I'm not like other men. So the wicked can be grateful. When it is to their benefit that things are going on, they are grateful. So it is that activity in the mind and the heart where we see it. We see relationships and things happening and people and such, and we're thankful based upon our view and heart towards things. First of all, in this passage in 1 Chronicles, in verse 31, as we read, let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Last week's sermon, we looked at Psalms 97:1, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. That psalm is but a follow-through, as there are other psalms that start out, the Lord reigns. It's but a follow-through of a typical prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord, that the Lord reigns. It's interesting to find it here as well as in the Psalms. If you look at Psalms 93 and 96, verse 32 says, let the sea roar and all it contains, let the field exult and all that is in it. For the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. You'll find that in Psalms 93 and Psalms 96, the same expression. Those are songs expressing truth of worship and praise, thanksgiving. It was also put in a psalm for later use in the temple. Verse 34 of 1 Chronicles 16, he continues, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. I like the King James translation of that a little bit better. For His mercy endureth forever. That's how the King James translated that. Verse 34 again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy, His loving kindness, is everlasting or endures forever. We'll look at that a little bit stronger in a minute. Psalms 139:14. Let's turn there for a moment. Psalms 139:14. Psalms 139:14 says, I will give thanks to Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Thy works, and my soul knows it very well. Give thanks for your existence, number one. Number one, give thanks for your existence, for being made. I will give thanks to Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. First of all, give thanks for your existence, for you are made. Scriptures say that Thou hast made us and not we ourselves. It is God who has made us, and fearfully and wonderfully made us. And my soul knows it very well. What did you do? What did people do before they had the Bible? Before they could prove creation from the Bible? What did all those poor souls do for thousands of years before they had the Bible so they could prove creation from the Bible? I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works. My soul knows it very well. The soul of man knows very well he is made. He has not made himself. You don't need the Bible to prove that every man knows he's not made himself. He has been made. It's God that has made us. And our souls know that very well. People might try to theologically or philosophically deny there is a creation by a being called God. But they have to deny what their own soul affirms. They did not make themselves. And their parents did not make themselves. And on backwards. Give thanks for your existence. As the psalmist says, I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Give thanks for how you are made. Because God made you. God gives you your existence. Be thankful for how you are made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Give thanks for how you are made. As I am becoming more and more aware of, through my aunt's circumstance, of the needs of the elderly, I am becoming more and more aware of the deterioration of the physical body. The guy probably is more aware of that than I, through his studies and through his treatment of people. Seeing all the various forms of physical depravity, physical deterioration, downward. And the more I become aware of that, as I drive around and look around, I see more and more people who are just dying. I mean, that is, you see the youth, you see those in their early years and they're gaining strength and their energy is full, but through the consequences of sin and drugs and alcohol, people in not late in their lives are deteriorating physically. And eventually it's just age. The body will just begin to deteriorate. That is the consequences of sin. God didn't make us to have physical depravity. It is the consequences of sin. But God made us fearfully and wonderfully. We ought to thank God for the existence that He has given us and gives us. Be thankful for that. There could not have been a better existence given the design God has for us. He might have created robots, we would never know the blessedness of giving. It's more blessed to give than to receive. We would never be people who could love if we were robots. We would never be free moral agents. But His purpose and wisdom is to create us and give us existence as free moral agents so that we could love Him and be loved by Him and have a relationship to love Him freely. Do not curse what God has blessed. Do not curse the existence you have because it comes from God. Give thanks for your existence. Psalm 54:6. Psalm 54:6 says, willingly I will sacrifice to thee. I will give thanks to thy name, O Lord, for it is good. I will give thanks to thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Now that refers not only that his name is good, but it is good to give thanks. It is good to be thankful. How wicked is it to be ungrateful? Psalms 92:1. Turn to Psalms 92:1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. The second reason to give thanks is because it is good to be thankful. It is good to be grateful. it is good to thank the source of blessings to you. Romans 1:21 says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks." Not giving thanks is what those who suppress the truth and do not honor God. Give thanks for a number two reason, because it is good to be thankful. To be unthankful or ungrateful is to be like those who reject God. To not thank Him for what He is and gives is to be virtually a rejection of Him. First of all, give thanks for your existence. Give thanks because it is good to be thankful. It is good to be a thankful person. Thirdly, give thanks for His existence. Give thanks for His existence. Revelation 4:11. Revelation says, 4:11, "Worthy art Thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou didst create all things, and because of Thy will, they existed and were created." Verse 9 said, "And when the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever." The creatures in heaven around the throne give Him glory and honor and thanks. The creatures in heaven give Him thanks. Give thanks for God's existence. For He is the Creator. He creates with design. All things are done according to His will. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Give thanks because God exists. In 1 Chronicles 16:34, where we just were, we come now to that verse. The fourth reason to give thanks. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Those that come to God must believe that He is His existence, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11, I believe, verse 6. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Not only give thanks that He is, but give thanks that He is good. It is clearly the revelation of Scripture. It is what they give thanks to God for. And when David told them to give thanks before the ark of the Lord, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." That is a reason to give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. When you give thanks unto the Lord, you can't do it with a heart that murmurs towards His will, towards His dealings with you, towards His dealings in the earth. You can't be thankful to the Lord, for He is good, and at the same time have a view, a resentment, or a bitterness, or despise Him for the means that He uses in His kingdom. Thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. When you believe that He is good, then you can properly give thanks to the Lord. Your heart must come to believe that He is good. Otherwise, what are we grateful for? For His power, wielded by a being that is not good? We could never bless a being who wielded His power to promote His own selfish ends. We might have to honor His power because we have no choice. We can't overrule His power, even though it's devastating to people. So we would never honor Him and be thankful for Him and His power. But only when we believe He is good will our hearts raise up and give thanks to Him, for He is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. This is what they were being led to say in thanksgiving and praise and worship unto God by Asaph as the ark was there. This is what they were instructing all of Israel to do. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Or Robert's coined a phrase back in the 50s when he was out in ministry, "God is a good God." And that was quite revolutionary at times because it began to filter out through ministers and the church and in a large public manner. The idea that God is a good God. The reason that was so revolutionary is because in theological terms and in theological thinking, God is not a good God to many people, to many theologies. God created people sinners, gives them a sinful nature, and then he sends them to hell for having a sinful nature in some people's view. God is not a good God in some people's view because they're under the influence of thinking that they have no free will. They cannot help but sin against God. They cannot help but be guilty all their lives. And then they go to heaven if God chooses, and they go to hell if God chooses. And they have to accept that as being good. And the mind can't accept that as being good. So even though theologically they read God is good, theologically they can't believe God is good. And Oral Roberts came along and said, God is a good God, and it went against a lot of assumptions and senses that people have about God under certain theological views. God is a good God. When you believe that God exists to give you all that you want, and you don't get all that you want, then God is not a good God. When you correct your view to understand that God is doing all that goodness can do, given circumstances and given the design he has in view, then you can understand God is a good God. God is good. Not only is God love, he's good. Oh, the goodness of God. Have you contemplated that? God is good. The usual question that goes with, if God is good, then why does... And they name something. Why are there so many poor people in the world? Why do people die of starvation in the world? Why is there so much disease in the world if God is good? People wrestle with that question. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We have in the history of Israel, King Jehoshaphat is sitting upon the throne. And there were some people, when Israel as a nation was going through the wilderness, there were some people that God let alone. They sidestepped these various peoples that they encountered. And he names those small groups of people that they encountered. I think it was sons of Ammon and Moab, verse 23. Now the sons of Ammon and Moab were going to come against Israel and attack them. And Israel was in great disadvantage because these enemies had numerical strength and great advantage to them. And they were greatly fearful. And in the face of this great army facing them and their apparent defeat that they were going to suffer, the prophet of the Lord spoke up. In fact, the nation raised a question, verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on thee. This gives us an idea of the frustration and difficulty that they faced and that they acknowledged that they faced. What are we going to do? Verse 13, And all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah. Verse 15, And he said, Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord of God to you, Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Tomorrow go down against them. Verse 17, You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord in your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. They have a promise from God. Verse 21, And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. As they went out before the army and said, Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. They were going into battle with a promise from God that they would not be defeated. And they had those who led in worship to go out before them and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting." They went on the strength of God's promise to them, God's word to them, and said to give thanks, for His loving kindness is everlasting. His mercy endures forever, the King James says. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. They did not go into battle with the promise of God, defeat the enemy, which God did. They didn't defeat the enemy, actually. God did. It wasn't after that they sent the people who led in worship to go out before them and say, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for His mercy endures forever." They didn't do that. They did that before they went into the conflict. All they had was a promise from God, which was enough, and they went out to give thanks to the Lord because His mercy endures forever. Notice, they didn't wait until after the victory to give thanks to the Lord. They give thanks to the Lord. Why? Not because they had the victory, but because His mercy endures forever. People tend to be taught or develop in their own thinking that the time to give thanks is when you have something to give thanks for, such as receiving something, such as something going your way. But what I want us to see this morning is we are to give thanks to the Lord for what He is. He is good, and what He promises, His mercy endures forever. That prior to going and facing a confrontation, a conflict, if you have a knowledge of and an understanding and a trust in God and His promises, then you have a thankful heart already. They went out with thanksgiving. That is not to say at all that we do not give God thanks to God when His promises are fulfilled. But giving thanks to God is not based upon after the fact, but on Him and His promises. Now this recurring thought, God is good and His mercy endures forever, His loving kindness is everlasting. Where in the world do you think they got this idea? If you go to Psalms 106:1, it says, somebody read it. Psalms 106:1. Read 107:1, Julie. 118:1. 136:1. Anybody want to guess what it says? And there's more. Where did Israel get this notion? Give thanks to the Lord. Why? For His loving kindness is everlasting. Where did they get this understanding? Where did they get this certain knowledge and reason to give thanks to the Lord? They got it up on a mountain. They got it through a man named Moses. Moses said, "Show me your glory." And God said, "I'll let you see all of my goodness." Remember? And then when he passed before him, he put his hand over him, he passed before him, he declared his name, and he says, what did he say? "My loving kindness is to all generations, who forgives iniquities." He went on describing his goodness. It was through this revelation of his goodness that Israel continued to draw from their knowledge of God. So that when David calls Asaph to lead them in thanksgiving, he concludes in his thanksgiving leading, the knowledge that came through this revelation of God's goodness, or God's glory, of His goodness, and thanking for His goodness, and thanking that His mercy is everlasting, His loving kindness is everlasting, and they stood on firm foundation of revelation because that's what God revealed to Moses when Moses said, "Show me your glory." So in the history of Israel, you'll find it numerous places. Israel calls upon God and gives God thanks for Him being good. and for his mercy enduring forever. And it comes on occasions prior to dealing with and engaging in difficulties, not after. It's easy to be thankful to somebody after they have done you a kindness and a goodness. But God calls upon us, and the Scriptures calls upon us, to be thankful to Him for what He is. Not as a being who's like a Santa Claus, that He gives you all kinds of things and then you're thankful for the externals, for the pleasures, for the benefits, but for being what He is. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. This is without Him doing anything to us. We're to be thankful for Him being good and that He is, His loving kindness is everlasting. It endures forever. You know what? That's the only reason that you have eternal life. Because His mercy is eternal. His mercy withholds the death that you deserve, that you used to be in. He withholds the death and gives you life, and as long as His mercy endures forever, you'll not receive the wages of sin. If His mercy would not endure forever, there will come a point in time which we will have the wages of our sin. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Because His mercy endures forever, we have assurance that we will have eternal life. Always know Him. There will not come a point on judgment day when we will receive our wages. There will not come a point some time in the far distant future when His mercy will cease and then we'll get what we deserve. It's only because His mercy endures forever that we shall never receive what we deserve. Give thanks to the Lord. That's what He's saying. Give thanks to the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Because it endures forever, we can know Him forever and not have to receive the wages of our sin, our death. Give thanks to the Lord for that. Don't wait until eternity is finished and look back and say, "Oh, He gave me life forever. Thank you." Give thanks to the Lord because He says, "My mercy will endure forever." Give thanks to the Lord now, knowing that His mercy endures forever. Give Him thanks now. Is what the Scriptures are telling us to do. And this is what we are to do. Give thanks, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Thank God, because His mercy endures forever, I shall forever have life instead of death. Aren't you grateful for that? Isn't that reasons to be thankful to God? Isn't that of supreme importance? Knowing Him forever and having life forever with Him, isn't that supremely more important than houses and lands and things and this and that? Isn't it? Oh, how feeble would it be? Oh, give thanks to the Lord because we've had good health and because we've had clothes and because we've had a house and lands and cars and things. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for that. How long can we give thanks to God for 50, 60, 70, 80 years maybe? And it's all gone. What those wonderful good things that He has in creation for us to enjoy. And they are wonderful. They are good. But in comparison to knowing Him eternally, our thanks for this compared to these things in this world are infinitely greater. Ought to be. For they are infinitely greater in importance and value, are they not? Knowing Him? And just to have food and shelter and raiment and have our life consist in those and thanking for those and only those? Thank Him, for He is good. Again, point number 5, thank you, thank Him, give thanks for His loving kindness. Point six, give thanks that his loving kindness endures forever. He's good, he has loving kindness or mercy, and it endures forever. Seven, give thanks for his work of redemption. The result of his loving kindness. His loving kindness has brought about a great redemption. Paul says, oh, thank God for his indescribable gift. Isaiah 25. O Lord, thou art my God. Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will give thanks to thy name, for thou hast worked wonders. Plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. Isaiah says he will exalt God and give thanks to him because he had plans that he formed long ago and he has performed them with perfect faithfulness. Give thanks for his work of redemption. For he had a plan that he has worked with perfect faithfulness. Turn to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. In his work of redemption, God promised a new covenant to the house of Israel. Verse 10. Thus says the Lord, yet again there shall be heard in this place of which you say it is a waste without man and without beast, that is, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant and without beast. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who say, give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and of those who bring a thank offering into the house of the Lord, for I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were at first, says the Lord. God's plan of redemption, revealed through Israel, based on his loving kindness and his goodness. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. God's work of redemption to bring the kingdom of God to earth as it is in heaven. Let us be grateful for that. Let us be grateful for his loving kindness, a plan of redemption, and he has fulfilled it faithfully. Eighth, let us give thanks for its success. Not only did God have a plan of redemption that he has faithfully worked out, and it is based upon his loving kindness and his goodness, it is successful. Psalmist said, I shall give thanks to thee, for thou hast answered me, and thou hast become my salvation. Listen to Paul in Romans chapter 6. Thanking God for God's success in his plan of redemption. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Here the Apostle Paul giving thanks to God because God's salvation has been successful in inducing people to believe God and believe the teaching of the gospel. And as a result, they became freed from sin and its slavery. They became slaves to righteousness. That's success. God's plan of salvation. And Paul expresses his thankfulness to God that those who had heard the gospel, their lives were radically changed and they became individuals of holiness and obedience to God and slaves to righteousness. What could be more successful than changing a person from utter selfishness to slaves to righteousness? What could be more successful than taking a person who is a slave to sin and bringing about the consequence of them being slaves to righteousness? Is that not a marvelous, awesome work? That without forcing anybody at all, he can get a person who is a slave to their own interest, their own willful slavery to selfish interest, and he can result in their commitment to God's interests with their whole heart without forcing them. How marvelous is God's plan? How successful is God's plan? Paul rejoices and gives God thanks for it. This has happened in their lives. So you were slaves of sin. You became obedient. Give God thanks for the success of His redemption. That His loving kindness has composed and brought about a plan of redemption that is successful. That it actually is the power of God into salvation to everyone who believes the gospel. Thank God for that. And those in whom that has happened are the most thankful for that. Because they know what they were. They know the slavery that they were in. And their own heart, in various ways, at various times, says, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing about the end of my slavery to sin. I can't fully explain it even to myself. All the little minute steps. I can't fully explain all the workings of my mind. But Lord, I knew once I was blind and dead in darkness. And now I see and I'm alive. And I can't fully explain it all, but I know it's because I believed you. I believed your word. I trusted in your mercy. I believed that you were good. I believed what was revealed about you in the scriptures and through Jesus. You set me free and I'm filled with your spirit and I know it. Thank you, Lord. Give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the people." Successful. If you read in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and other portions of the scripture, Paul continues, give thanks to God for seeing the faithfulness and success of the gospel in people's lives. Read about that. I give God thanks for every mention of you because of your joy and your love and your faith that you have in Christ. Remember those scriptures? Paul gives thanks to God for the success of God's redemption because it has produced faith and hope and love in people's hearts that have believed the gospel. The gospel is successful. Give thanks for that. We have a sight in heaven. Listen to this. "And after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." The angels in heaven will be giving thanks to God for this great multitude that no one could name who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The angels in heaven are going to give thanksgiving to God for the success of God's redemption plan. Is that not what it says? That's what they're going to do. Great multitude which no one could count. I don't know where they're coming from. I don't have the count. Doesn't seem like there's going to be a great multitude as I read church history and such, but there will be. And God's plan of salvation will be and is successful. Why? Because His mercy endures forever. Maybe this earth is going to go on 10,000 more years. to accomplish that purpose. That His mercy will endure forever. Forever. Because His mercy endures forever, because He is good, redemption has come about, and it's successful. Thank the Lord for that. And finally, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, starting with verse 19. Paul says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, while you're doing that, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. I do not give thanks to God for the devil. I don't thank God for sin. I don't thank God for me living in sin as long as I did. I don't rationalize and say, God, I thank you that I lived in sin for 45 years because if I hadn't, I wouldn't have learned how terrible sin is. I don't try to rationalize and say, Lord, I thank you for the devil because if it wasn't for the devil, I wouldn't be tempted like I am and I need to be tempted like I am so I can overcome for your glory. That's rationalizing sin. It's putting sin and the devil and rebellion in a position where it is necessary that they be there for the glory of God. And it's not. Paul doesn't say be thankful for everything. A woman is not to be thankful for the rapist. No one is to be thankful for the murderer. Paul said be thankful in everything. Give thanks. In everything. Give thanks, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. That's why we give thanks in everything, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. But Paul says here, always giving thanks for all things in the name. In other words, in everything that you give thanks for, you give it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see the difference? Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God. Why? Because all things that we have from God are through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to give thanks for all things that we give thanks for in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? In everything give thanks. And in everything you give thanks for, give it in the name of the Lord Jesus. For all good things come through Him. We have nothing from God outside of Christ. He is the mediator through which we have eternal life. In Him is eternal life, and when we receive Him, we have the life. All the blessings of to mankind have come through and on account of the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are to give thanks through Him and in His name to the Father. Because all good things from the Father come through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to give thanks in His name to the Father. Let us make a clear distinction. We are in everything to give thanks because He is good and His mercy endures forever. Some people try to use thanksgiving as an exercise to nullify stress, difficulties, family conflicts, physical problems, financial problems. People try to give the remedy as, just give thanks to God for it. Rationalize it somehow. So you're thankful for people's opposition to the gospel, that you're thankful for the devil and his work, that you're thankful for tragedies. No. In everything give thanks. And give thanks through the Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. And whether, as Paul says, whether I be stoned or whether I am homeless or whether I am naked or I'm treated ill, it doesn't matter. Because I have Him. He was not thankful for those, but in all those things He gave thanks through the Lord Jesus Christ to the Father.
He gave thanks not for them. He gave thanks for He is good and His mercy endures forever. You get in certain circumstances that are stressful, that life has, and you will not be able to find anything to thank God for that come out of those circumstances, out of those relationships, because there's nothing to thank God for. But in everything that you're in, you can give thanks for, as we looked at, for this is the reason to give thanks. He is good. And His mercy endures forever. I'm going to share briefly, personally, with you. As you know, I have been myself faced with this last month has been horrendous. I don't think I've experienced a month like it in my life. Vacancy, which meant our finances were destroyed. My aunt's problem culminated in a crisis whereby we had to go up there almost daily for a few days and then take her to a home and deal with that. Very stressful. Very stressful. And I got sued 2 weeks ago today, which compounded things. That's the icing on the cake. There's other difficulties underneath it. All working in. And I shared that with you a week ago. And a week ago I preached on to myself, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. But that is the reason to rejoice. Don't rejoice because you've got all the money you need and you're at peace with everybody in the world and you've got all the food you need and all the kids are well and your job is secure. Don't rejoice for that. Rejoice because the Lord reigns. And when your job isn't secure, and when you lose your job, and your health goes, and your kids are a problem, and all the things that go along, legally you might get into a bind, and all the things that go along with that, rejoice because the Lord reigns. And I was preaching to myself because I myself was being ministered to by that truth. And that is the truth. And this week culminated in Wednesday morning. I didn't sleep all Tuesday night. My mind was on the legal matter. All Tuesday night I didn't sleep. And I woke up and I got up Wednesday morning sitting at breakfast and didn't have an appetite. And Pat was sitting there and I looked at her and I said, I don't understand what's going on inside of me. Something's going on inside of me I've never experienced before and I don't understand. And I just started to cry. And I sat there with my head in my hands and threw a whole bunch of napkins. I sat there and wept. Just wept. Wept and wept. And I had conscious of having the knowledge that God has an answer for me. But at that point in time, I didn't understand what was going on. And I knew that just trying to force a verse into my mind, just trying to get rid of the stress was not the answer. As I was weeping, I said, Lord, search my heart out. I don't understand what's going on. And I just wept hard, harder than in a long time. Lord, search my heart. If there's anything in me that's displeasing to you in this matter, make it known to me. And I just poured out my heart as I wept. As the scripture, my heart just melted. It poured out. And said, Lord, you just search me out. After a couple hours, I went and sat on the couch and I pulled out the scriptures and began to read the Psalms. And my heart came to the point as I was reading the Psalms and as I was praying this my heart out, I said, Lord, My soul just ended up praying, Lord, thy will be done. I began to read the scriptures, the Psalms in particular, and the Psalms started to come alive to me, and they began to take on reality to my mind. I began to see that God is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. That He is the King, that He reigns, let the earth rejoice. And my soul was taken, not in an attempt to get rid of the stress, as my soul was drawn to the reality of Him. That He reigns.
Whatever may happen in this world, He reigns. His mercy endures forever. That's the important thing. That's the valuable thing. That's what the thing that matters. My heart was drawn out to say, Lord, if I, literally, Lord, if I need, keep him from being a thief, I need to give him the property that he wants. I'll give it to him. I know he's a thief in his heart already. But if he so demands it, I'd rather give him the property than have him be a thief. If necessary, I'll refinance the property to pay what he wants. That's what it takes, Lord. And I saw God deliver me from any value of my side of the lawsuit in wanting to defend it or to keep anything that he sued me for. But my heart only rose above the stress and only rose above the concerns because what was more important and what was more real, what was more valuable, rose up in my heart. As the Lord reigns, He is good. His mercy endures forever. And this man's actions does not nullify that fact at all. It doesn't change a thing regarding what is true about God. It is not indicative that God is displeased with me. It is not indicative that God is trying to use evil to do some good to me. I know that He'll take it and work it to my good as I love Him. But it's not as though it's coming from Him. And I do not have to take what's behind going on here and say, well, God, these are some of your attributes because you're working this. No. My heart settled in what I knew for true about God, that He is good. And my heart was captivated away from the stress. Not because I threw it away, not because I made an attempt to get away from it, but something else rose up in my heart that nullified, neutralized, and set it aside. That's why Wednesday night I came. My heart was rejoicing. My heart was full. The Lord, nothing changed about the lawsuit. But faith in what is true about God altered me. And I was giving thanks to God before that occurred. And that's why it occurred. I did not give thanks to God because, Lord, you won in court, you've thrown it aside. I am now, and have been, in relationship to that situation, being thankful to the Lord because I exist, because the life He has given me, because He is good, because He is merciful and it endures forever, and He has a plan of salvation and He's successful in it. I'm thankful to God this morning. I'm thankful to God because He is good and His mercy endures forever. That's the reasons I'm thankful to God. I rejoice not because my enemies have been defeated and I have been victorious. I rejoice because the Lord reigns and whatever shall happen, He reigns. Nothing will dethrone Him. And I do not share this message to you this morning saying, if you're down, if you're in stress, here's the answer, just start thanking God. I lay it before you to understand this truth. We are to be thankful to God. It's part of what we do when we are pressed with anxiety. Be careful for nothing. Let your request be made known with thanksgiving. What are you going to be thankful for when you're faced with stress? Not the cause of the stress, not the circumstance that may induce the stress. What are you going to be thankful for? When you fall into financial difficulties or physical ailments or relationship problems, what are you going to be thankful for? For those things? No. Your mind won't find thankfulness in and from those things. Yet we're to be thankful. We're to offer our petitions with thanksgiving. It can only be thanksgiving for what He is. It can only be
being thankful that He is, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, and not waiting till after when we seek and find, then we're thankful. Not only then, but we're thankful because He said, if you'll seek Me, you'll find Me. We're thankful that He said, if you hunger and thirst, you'll be filled. We're thankful that we have these precious promises. We don't have to get something before we're thankful. We can be thankful and are to be thankful because He is something already. When the heart believes what is true about God, it has reasons to be thankful. It doesn't have to wait. Nobody has to wait to be thankful to God. Amen.